This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
Hi, welcome to the Audio Imaginarium. Hey, get on up to the website. Albert, the intern, has posted some great stories on our slide carousel. That's richardserrett.com. And there you'll find this amazing story. A leading American climate scientist has said he felt scared, quote, end quote, when a shadowy organization claiming to represent the CIA asked him about the possibility of weaponized weather. Professor Alan Robach received a call 3 years ago from two men wanting to know if experts would be able to spot a hostile force's attempts to upset the U.S. climate. But he suspected the real intention was to find out how feasible it might be to secretly interfere with the climate of another country. Wow. You can read the entire article. It's entitled The CIA, Weather Warfare and Climate Terrorism by Jim Lee, and that's in the slide carousel, once again, at richardserrett.com. At the bottom of the hour, you'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets to my special live event, Follow the Truth 2, coming to Oshawa's beautiful Region Theater on Sunday, April the 26th, and we've lined up some truly remarkable speakers, and you can read all about them by visiting followthetruth.tv. And we're working on adding a couple of special guests as well. Thus far, we have seven speakers to present, including The Shroud of Turin. We've got an exact replica on display, the Zapruder film, spirit communication, electronic harassment, remote viewing, UFOs, the lost tribes of Israel. I'm very excited about this one. This is fascinating information. I'm really looking forward to presenting these amazing researchers, authors, and I hope you'll join me. Call the box office this week and order your tickets, 905-721-3399. 905-721-3399. That's the Region Theater in Oshawa, Sunday, April the 26th. Follow the Truth 2. And again, the number 905-721-3399. Okay, let's get to the main entree. I was reading recently about a Swedish underground military facility on an island near Stockholm. It's called Muskö. It's a large naval base built underneath a mountain. Just to give you a sense of how large this underground base is, the hospital alone within the facility holds over 1,000 beds. And Muskö engineers blasted out 1.5 million cubic meters of stone in order to build it. And they began construction of the base around 1950. It was completed 19 years later, 1969. Again, during the construction, about 1.5 million tons of rock were removed. The Muskö base had three docks originally designed for destroyers and submarines, and it's connected by 20 kilometers of underground roads. There's a 3-kilometer-long, dangerously narrow road tunnel, running some 70 meters under the sea level, connecting the mainland and Musco Island. And during the Cold War, the underground facility was kept highly secret. Not much information about it was known to the public for many years. Then in 2004, the Swedish government decided the Navy should be concentrated to two bases only, and much of the Musco base was closed, and today some parts of the facility are still used by the military. So, having read that about Musco, I think it would be very naive to believe that there aren't similar secret underground bases here in North America, perhaps bases that are far deeper under our feet, far more expansive than we can imagine. Perhaps these underground bases are connected with complex systems of secret tunnels crisscrossing North America, and within those tunnels, high-speed maglev trains. If this all seems too fantastic, consider this. In 1987, the Deputy Director of Engineering and Construction for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers gave a speech at an engineering conference entitled Underground Facilities for Defense, Experience and Lessons. In the first paragraph of his speech, he states the following. After World War II, political and economic factors changed the underground construction picture and caused a renewed interest to think underground. As a result of this interest, the Corps of Engineers became involved in the design and construction of some very complex and interesting military projects. Although the conference program indicates the topic to be Underground Facilities for Defense, Experience and Lessons, I must deviate a little because several of the most interesting facilities that have been designed and constructed by the Corps are classified. He then went on into a discussion of the Corps' involvement in the 1960s in the construction of the large and elaborate NORAD base buried deep beneath Cheyenne Mountain in Colorado. This is just a public statement, but you'll not find a more significant public admission of secret underground bases than this one. People speaking is not the only evidence available. There are actual documents obtained by researchers through the Freedom of Information Act that shed more light on the subject and clearly outline plans for the construction of underground facilities. These are documents available which expose a deep underground command center that was to be built far below areas such as Washington, D.C. and China Lake. China Lake, California, during the Cold War. Documents available show that in 1964, the military was considering building a huge underground cavity 4,000 feet deep beneath China Lake. It's well known the United States and the Soviet Union created a vast infrastructure to support a complex of offensive and defensive weapons during the Cold War. This infrastructure included sites and facilities for developing, testing, storing, and manufacturing weapons. There was also a host... Oops, sorry, my computer just went blinko there for a second. Let me see if we can get that up and running while we're live and on the air. Sorry about that. In any event, there's probably very few people who know more about said underground bases, rumors, myths, legends of underground bases, and perhaps the reality of underground bases. Richard Sauter is the author of Hidden in Plain Sight, Beyond the X-Files, which is about secret underground bases. He's experienced first-hand contact with a variety of paranormal phenomena, convincing him that there is much more going on than what we are being told. How far down do these bases go? What leaks are coming from the classified world? What has the U.S. Navy planned for beneath the ocean floor? Are there bases beneath the ocean floor? What's going on beneath Washington, D.C.? Are there, as I mentioned earlier, high-speed underground maglev systems? What is the connection with UFOs and the alien question? Hidden in Plain Sight, Beyond the X-Files, is a book that truly goes where no other book has gone before. It's a must-read for any and all who are seeking to understand the full magnitude of the matrix-like reality of our civilization. Using a combination of archival research, on-the-scene investigation, and first-hand interviews, Richard Sauter takes the reader into a world that is under the ground and under the ocean. It's a world that we are exposed, or that we are supposed to think is impossible. And yet, after reviewing his evidence, it seems all too likely. Richard Sauter, welcome to The Conspiracy Show. How are you?
Thank you, Richard. I'm glad to be here. I'm doing better than I was a couple of years ago. Thank you.
Well, that's interesting. How do you mean you're doing better than you were a few years ago? What has happened in the last couple of years to you?
Well, I was almost killed a couple of years ago, and I spent several months in the public hospital system here in Ecuador. And I want to thank the public hospitals for giving me a space to recuperate for a few months. Initially, I couldn't even stand up. I couldn't take one step without falling over. I basically lost most of the function of my legs, especially below the knees. But I've slowly rebounded and recuperated. Some people think there may have been American alphabet soup involvement behind the scenes. And what happened to me, I couldn't tell you that is the case. In any event, I was assaulted and nearly killed. I survived the attack. I'm still recuperating a little more than 2 years later. And so it's my pleasure to spend an hour talking with you.
Now, if we connect the dots a little bit, is it because of the information that you've divulged regarding secret underground bases? Is that the reason perhaps there was an attempt on your life?
I don't know. I couldn't say. I'm also an anti-nuclear activist and have been for many years. I've spent time incarcerated in the United States for my nonviolent anti-nuclear peaceful protests. I'm also a blogger and have been blogging for ever since I've been in Ecuador, which is 4.5 years. So whatever I might say about the motive behind the attack on me would be speculation. What I can tell you is that I was very nearly killed. It was a close call, and I barely survived. It's 2 years later. I am still recuperating, and so I'm very happy to be speaking with you this evening. What you have said about underground bases is all true. There's no question that these facilities exist. There are many of them, and not only in the United States. They are underground, and as I have been told, and as my research indicates, also undersea. They can be quite elaborate, quite deep, quite large, and quite technologically sophisticated. People really need to wrap their heads around the fact that they have been massively lied to, and the world is seriously different than we have been told.
Well, if we've learned nothing from Edward Snowden, who shed a great deal of light on this black budget world and the idea that, we're living in a world full of these special access programs, and they have siphoned off trillions of dollars every year, trillions every year to conduct these black op programs. And how much of that money has been funneled into these underground bases, do you suspect?
Well, you can't put a dollar figure on it, you see, because it's compartmentalized. But I would say a great deal has been lavished on underground bases and tunnels and undersea facilities. And also my research from time to time, I got indications that probably this business of tunneling and building secret subsurface facilities may well extend to the moon and possibly to Mars and other bodies.
Wow, underground bases on the moon.
Yes. Well, in my first book, and by the way, all of my books are linked to from my blog site, which is linked to from your website, I believe.
That's correct.
But so you can get all three of my books that are currently in print. But in my first book, Underground Bases and Tunnels, What is the Government Trying to Hide? I gave, towards the end of that short book, which was my first cut at this subject matter, a little bit of documentation from one of the documents I obtained, I believe, from Jacobs Associates Engineering Firm, which is Jacobs has been involved in underground excavations and construction for a variety of American government agencies, military.
Richard, let me just jump in here. Excuse me, Richard. We're running up against a break here. Sit tight. We'll come back on the other side and discuss this. Richard Sauter joining us live from Ecuador. Back with more of The Conspiracy Show as we discuss secret underground bases. Don't go away. Welcome back. Richard Sauter, PhD, is with us, and his new book is entitled Hidden in Plain Sight, Beyond the X-Files. And we've hooked up to Richard's blog spot. If you go to richardserrett.com, click on Richard Sauter's name, it'll take you to eventhorizonchronicle.blogspot.com. And there you'll see, in addition to his blog posts, a number of his books, including the new one, Hidden in Plain Sight, also Underwater and Underground Bases, and Underground Bases and Tunnel. What is the government trying to hide? Now, in addition to documents from secured through through FOIA, I mean, you've had encounters with individuals. For example, I understand that you were giving a public talk a number of years ago, and I believe this was you, Richard. Correct me if I'm wrong, but were you not approached by a man who had been a uniformed member of the United States Navy who worked at China Lake and the underground facility there?
Well, I want to get back to the anecdote, first of all, that I was mentioning before the break, and that is in one of the documents that I found in my research, there was an allusion to transporting a so-called subsaline tunneling machine to the moon to make subsurface tunnels on the moon. And that was circa the 1970s, something like that. So the document did not say how the subsaline machine, nuclear powered by the way, would be taken to the moon. My guess is it would perhaps be taken by some of these heavy lift black triangles, because I don't believe that using chemical rockets is a feasible way to transport pieces of machinery that are hundreds of feet long and weigh, you know, hundreds of tons to the moon. I strongly suspect this heavy lift, anti-grav, black triangle technology is in use by the compartmentalized programs in the American military-industrial complex and has been for some time. Now, getting back to the rest of your question about talking with people, uniform members of the Navy, I have talked to a lot of individuals from a variety of backgrounds, both military and non-military, hard science and non-science, right across the spectrum. So without being too specific, because one of the conditions that a lot of people have for speaking with me is that I not out them. The reason being that the penalties for breaking security oaths in the United States military-industrial espionage complex can be quite severe.
Oh, yeah. These people play for keeps. No question.
Oh, they play for keeps. By keeps meaning they will take you out. They will do unspeakable things maybe to your family. Taking away your lifelong pension is the least of what they can and will do. They kill people. As one of my there's one man I knew for years who worked for United States Air Force Intelligence, and I talked with him about many things over the years. And one day we were talking, and I asked him if he had ever been approached by the CIA to work for them, and he said, oh, yes. And I said, well, what did you tell them? And he said, well, of course, I turned them down. And I said, why? And he said, well, Richard, the CIA even kills their own, so why would I want to work for them? And that's true. You know, there's no honor among thieves. And when you're talking about the American intelligence agencies, especially, but not only the CIA, they are vicious equal opportunity assassins, and they will just as gladly stab one of their own operators in the back as they will blow out the brains of someone else. So when you're dealing with these compartmentalized programs. If you're in, you're in, and you never get out. What my perception is that a fair number of people who get involved in these projects find out the deep wickedness that is often involved. Stealing money by the millions and the billions and the trillions is one aspect of it. Another aspect of it is, as I just alluded to, they kill people. And it's just nasty. What can I say?
Well,
and I believe
to what end though? To what end are these bases being constructed?
End of control.
All right, but
control of the earth. Control of the earth. Everything above the earth. Everything on the earth. Everything below the earth. These are incredible control freaks. And yes, I have talked to people who've been in the bases, who've worked in them, who've helped construct them. I've talked to people who know about them, just from a lot of different perspectives. For example, you mentioned Navy personnel, and I've talked to a fair number of people in the United States Navy over the last 20 years, and I am very satisfied that there are undersea bases, manned undersea bases, and also that there are submarine bases, I mean bases that accommodate large military submarines on both coasts of North America with access tunnels that come in from undersea. And you have to understand these large military submarines are, my God, they're 500-600 feet long, which is on the order of up to 200 meters long or 200 yards long. They're enormous. And the height of them, they can be 100 feet or more from the bottom of the hull to the top of the conning tower. So we're talking about 30 meters or more from the bottom of the hull to the top of the conning tower. So they're massive ocean-going vessels. And so you can imagine the advances that have been made in marine engineering to create tunnels undersea that can accommodate vessels of this size, and then airlocks that are that massive that these submarines can go into undersea and then either travel into bases that would be built down in the solid rock in the seafloor deep beneath the surface of the sea, or they could enter tunnels and then travel through the tunnels and come into underground bases or dry docks that would be inland in coastal areas, but inland. And this technology has been under research and design since at least the 1960s, which is 50 years ago, a half a century ago. So we're talking about projects that are well advanced. The technology is just mind-bending. And I recently did an interview on the radio where the host actually was an ex-member of the United States Navy. And I got to talking about the Altec facility in the Bahamas on Andros Island. This is off the southeast coast of Florida, in the Northern Caribbean Sea region. And that has been, on Andros Island, a United States Navy base for over half a century, going back, I believe, to the 1950s. He said, my research was pointing that direction, but I had no corroboration. But he corroborated for me that, in fact, there is an underground submarine base there, and the submarines come in through underwater tunnels, and then there is like a dry dock area where they can tie up at the dock for repairs. And my research indicates that this type of base has been planned for by the United States Navy since the 1960s. I have documentation from the Navy. And pardon me, I took a drink of water. And also from the Stanford Research Institute in California, both from the mid-1960s to late 1960s, calling for the construction of these major manned undersea bases, which could even be either along the coastline of North America, for example, or any other large land mass, or could be accessed from islands anywhere in the world, such as the Bahamas or Bermuda, is one, another example, or Diego Garcia in the middle of the Indian Ocean. There are many examples, you see. Let's see, England is an island also, isn't it?
Yes, indeed.
Or they could be accessed in a deep sea environment. The way that would happen, as per the documentation I obtained openly, it wasn't classified, is that using petroleum industry technology, they would use great big bores and bore huge cylindrical holes in the ocean floor right in the bedrock. They could be 8, 10, 15, 20 feet in diameter. And say you drill a perfect hole 100 feet deep, and then you insert a huge stainless steel cylinder in that hole and cement it into place with fast solidifying underwater cement. Then you have an airlock on the end of that tube, and use that airlock to evacuate the water from the tube, and then you pump in a breathable atmosphere. And then you see, using submarines, you send down crews, highly trained tunneling crews, and you put them through that airlock along with drilling equipment, and they go to work there undersea and then tunnel out from that initial borehole, and then submarines can come, and with their airlocks, they can lock on to that airlock on that tube, and that's the means of access. And then as you go and burrow further, you can make an entire undersea labyrinth in the bedrock beneath the sea. Do you see how that's done?
Well, as best I can wrap my head around an undertaking like that. So they are tunneling under the ocean. But again, who is doing this? Are we talking primarily, is this a globalist regime that's in charge of this? Or is this?
I suspect. I'll tell you that when I was researching my last book, I was contacted by a man who told me of a facility he knew of from his work that was being constructed in the Gulf of Mexico. He told me by Parsons, which is one of the major civil engineering companies in the United States. And so there's an example of a corporate facility. He didn't know the purpose of it, but he worked in an industry that provides equipment that is only used in deep underground mining contexts, so that when he was told by this company that they needed this equipment that he uniquely provided for use in a facility in the Gulf of Mexico, he knew instantly it had to be an undersea facility, actually burrowed down in the bedrock.
What's being stored down there?
All kinds of things. From the documentation that I have seen and the planning documents, there were three things that popped up: nuclear missiles, nuclear bases, submarine bases for the submarines to come and go and for the crews to just stay, you know, instead of patrolling for half a year at a time. It'd be more comfortable to go in a place where you could play ping pong and lift weights and et cetera, have a library and on. With normal kitchens. Another thing is scientific facilities for studying geology and geophysics, and also mining. You know, if you had your own private uranium mine or gold mine or platinum mine, well, just think of it. You could make billions of dollars, and it would be all yours. So there's plenty of incentive right there from mining alone.
What about underground facilities or under ocean facilities that would be used to house individuals in the event of some cataclysmic event? And when I say individuals, I mean we're talking about the elites here, this breakaway civilization.
Yeah,
for example.
I believe that's probably going on, but because you're dealing with very tightly compartmentalized projects, I doubt you will find any documentation on the public record. I looked and I didn't see any. I don't think you will find it. The other thing is secret prisons. You know, Richard, a lot of people disappear on this world every year. Thousands and thousands of people disappear. I presume some of them, for whatever reason, are being held in secret prisons.
All right, Richard, I've got
under gas.
Okay, I have to jump in here. We'll take another time out. Back with Richard Sauter, PhD, author of Hidden in Plain Sight, Beyond the X-Files, as we discuss secret underground and under ocean bases right here on The Conspiracy Show. Stay with us. We'll get back to our conversation with Richard Sauter, PhD, author of Hidden in Plain Sight, Beyond the X-Files, in just a moment as we discuss underground bases, secret underground under ocean bases. However, it is that time where we offer you an opportunity to win a pair of tickets to my Follow the Truth conference, Follow the Truth 2, happening in Oshawa, Regent Theatre, Sunday, April the 26th. And speaking of which, before the top of the hour, we'll spend just a few moments with Canada's Edgar Casey, remote viewer Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, who will tell us just a little bit about his appearance at the conference and also an upcoming appearance he has in Toronto in just a few days. But first, the question, and we will take the seventh caller. Tim Spreen standing by in the other studio, ready to take the seventh caller with the correct answer. And the question is, what is the name of the speaker who will be giving a presentation at Follow the Truth called The Lost and Found Tribes of Israel? The Lost and Found Tribes of Israel, the name of that speaker, who will be speaking at Follow the Truth Sunday, April the 26th. And again, we will take the seventh correct caller at 416-360-0740. 416-360-0740 or toll free 1-866-740-4740. Once again, the name of the speaker at Follow the Truth, who will be giving a presentation called The Lost and Found Tribes of Israel. All right, back to Richard Sauter. Now, I've been reading a lot also about this this China Lake installation or underground installation, and you have been in contact with individuals that have told you about that. I've heard that this is somewhere on the order of 4,000 feet below the surface. I mean, are there any clues, any hints above ground as to what lies beneath?
Not necessarily. Sometimes there are, and sometimes there are not. These facilities can be cleverly disguised. They can be accessed from tunnels that originate miles away from where the facility proper may be sited or situated. So sometimes, yes, there will be infrastructure above ground that you can see, and you will say, aha, there's something here below the ground. In other cases, no, there wouldn't necessarily have to be any surface indication. So there may or may not be. And what I can tell you is that even already in the documents I saw from the 50s and 60s in the past century, there was discussion as to how to camouflage these types of clandestine facilities. And I believe the technology for concealing these things is probably considerably advanced these days. They can be anywhere, beneath a large city, beneath a small town, in a desert isolated area. They can be beneath mountains, beneath the sea, beneath a marsh. What you see above ground or on the surface, you may perceive the surface as being very uninviting, but you see, that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with what is going on 5,000 feet down or 10,000 feet down or 13,000 feet down. Early on in my research, I didn't have a good idea as to how deep these things can be. And now I understand that they can be very deep indeed. As one expert put it to me in one of my many conversations with a variety of people over 20 years, I asked him, how deep can these underground facilities be? And he said, well, you know, the state of the art is a mile underground, and today that is a comparative, a child's play to go 1 mile underground. And those were his words. So I would say conservatively 1 mile underground. And what is the lower limit? Is it 2 miles, 3 miles, 5 miles? I can't tell you. You see, that's compartmentalized, classified information. What I can tell you is, based on the documentation I have found and on conversations with people who know, I can very comfortably say that to go and build a facility 1 mile down or 1 mile beneath the sea, that is state-of-the-art for marine engineering technology and for civil engineering technology in our time.
I'm thinking about Area 51 or Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Well, let's talk about Area 51. And you know, we've heard about S4 and different and various levels and compartments within Groom Lake. What do we know about the possibility of an underground base there?
Oh yes. Well, you have to understand 90% of Nevada is under control of a variety of United States government agencies, both military and non-military. My research would suggest that the surface ownership of the land doesn't have too much to do with what's occurring underground. Everything that I have seen indicates to me that there's quite a lot underground in Nevada, and that let your imagination run. That's all I can say.
All right, Richard, we'll take one final time out, come back, and hold on to you for a few moments later, but we have to ask the big Lollapalooza, and that is about your firsthand contact with a variety of paranormal phenomena, and what is the connection between UFOs and ETs and these underground bases? Richard Sauter, PhD, author of Hidden in Plain Sight, right here on The Conspiracy Show. Don't go away. Congratulations to Mary Olick of Toronto, who won herself a pair of tickets to Follow the Truth, April 26th at the Regent Theatre in Oshawa. And for more information, followthetruth.tv, and to order your tickets, 905-721-3399. Dr. Douglas Cottrell standing by, Canada's Edgar Casey, just before the top of the hour, just for a quick chat to talk about his upcoming event in Toronto in March and also his appearance at Follow the Truth. Richard Sauter, PhD, the author of Hidden in Plain Sight, Beyond the X-Files, talking about a secret underground bases. Got to ask you about your own personal experience with what you describe as a variety of paranormal phenomena with relation to these bases, Richard.
Yes, well, not only with relation to the bases, but to everything on this planet and beyond. And actually, that would be quite an extensive conversation that is not well suited to commercial radio with its commercial interruptions and restricted time format. But the very brief Cliff Notes version is that at the age of 3, I was had an encounter with what I called the Bone Lady, all capital letters. She would be a demigoddess, if you had to use one word in the English language to describe her. And she downloaded a lot of information to me. That was my initiation into, shall we say, real reality and not the matrix reality. We are born into the matrix reality. There is some truth in the matrix movie, especially in the first, say, hour of the matrix movie. But once you are caught up into the matrix, it can be quite hard to remove the blinders unless you get a little help. The Bone Lady gave me a little.
Are you there, Richard? Did we lose Richard? I think we may have. We've lost Richard. We've lost Richard in Ecuador. He was just telling us about the Bone Lady, and I'd be curious to know whether she was extraterrestrial or interdimensional. In any event, we may well, if we can't get him back, we'll get Dr. Douglas Cottrell on here, who is standing by to discuss his upcoming event in March. Canada's Edgar Casey, remote viewer, who will be joining us as well at Follow
Richard,
the Truth.
Can you hear
me? We have Richard back. Yes, you're back, Richard.
Yes, we were cut off. We were rudely cut off when I began talking about the Bone Lady.
All right.
And I would add, remind your listeners that all of the internet, Skype, Yahoo, Google, Facebook, all of it is monitored, surveilled, and controlled by the alphabet soup agencies
okay.
of the United States government.
All right. So
we were cut off.
All right. The
bone lady.
Is she extraterrestrial, interdimensional?
The Bone Lady. Well, I'm telling you, the Bone Lady is beyond that. You see, the Matrix, once you begin to wrap your head around the Matrix or poke it out of the Matrix, you realize that a lot of our language is Matrix-related, and that even words such as terrestrial and extraterrestrial past a certain point are of limited utility because we have been so blinded. Our entire mental construct is a prison.
All right. And so just because we're very tight on time, and we'll have you back on and discuss further, but what is the connection with the underground bases and UFOs? Because we have many reports of UFOs seen flying, landing in the ocean. We have the Shag Harbor incident, of course, in the 1960s up here off the coast of Canada. Well, we've lost them again. Okay, well, these intelligence agencies, I guess, who are monitoring Skype. I tell you what, Tim, why don't we just get Dr. Cottrell on, and can we? Okay, we'll try once more. We're trying to reach Dr. Sauter in Ecuador, who is joining us tonight by Skype, and he seems to think that perhaps some of these alphabet intel agencies are playing havoc with the connection, given the sensitive nature of what we are discussing. I'll just remind you, Richard Sauter is the author of Hidden in Plain Sight, Beyond the X-Files, and if you've been sort of subtly or suitably teased by what we've discussed in this short time, you can go to the website, richardserrett.com, click on Richard's name, and that'll take you to his blog, which is eventhorizonchronicle.blogspot.com.
Yes, I am here.
Okay,
Richard.
Just a few closing remarks, then. Sorry for the trouble, Richard. Okay, so UFOs and underground bases. What is the connection? I mean, is there one?
I'm sorry, we have been cut off twice, and what I was saying is that this entire mental construct is a prison. This entire planet is operating under the most severe mental and spiritual interference you can imagine. And just when we began talking about that, we have been cut off twice.
That's true. That's true. And unfortunately, we're just about out of time. Can we make this another date? Can we have you back?
Yes,
on?
We can. We can have a series of conversations. When I tell you, if we're going into this, we will go very deeply, and that is intended. It's not a pun.
Indeed. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you joining us tonight from Ecuador. Again, the book is Hidden in Plain Sight, Beyond the X-Files. We'll have you on again, Richard, and we'll do part two of this as we discuss underground bases and the connection to the UFO-ET issue. I really appreciate your time tonight, Richard.
Thank you, Richard. I appreciate it.
Be well. All right, Richard Sauter. Okay, for a very quick little hit here, we're welcoming aboard a big friend of the program, of course. He is known as Canada's Edgar Casey, the man with X-ray eyes, and I'm very pleased he'll be joining us in Oshawa Sunday, April the 26th at Follow the Truth. And, of course, that is Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Hello, Douglas. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine tonight, Richard. Thank you. Lovely show tonight, as usual, and I'm looking forward to being in Oshawa with you and being able to demonstrate the quantum mind deep trance meditation method that Edgar Casey, Ross Peterson, Paul Solomon, and I have been of service to the world, so to speak. And it's going to be an exciting time, I think, in Oshawa.
Oh, incredibly exciting. I mean, this is not something that you have done in Canada a lot, I'm guessing. I mean, I know that you're called to speak before people in Europe quite a bit. But have you ever done anything like this on a stage in North America before?
Not in North America. In Poland and Katowice, which I mispronounced the name, I always do, there were more than 1,000 people on stage that I did this for. I've done this in Spain as well, in Madrid, Barcelona, and also in the south, in a place called Cordova.
Okay,
and as well as Grucha.
All right. So when people arrive at the Regent Theater on April the 26th, and the curtain goes up, they're going to see you in that iconic leather recliner chair, and you will be on stage, but in a deep meditative trance. Correct?
Well, I think I'm going to walk on stage first, and it's going to take a couple minutes to show people how I get into that.
Right. Okay.
And this is a phenomena that anybody who's read anything about Edgar Casey and always wanted to know. Was there someone else that could do this, or how was this done? Can I have this? Can I develop this ability? And is this really a true ability of being able to tap into the super subconscious mind or the quantum mind and reach out into the Akashic records? We're going to do this on stage live in front of the audience. And as usual, my friend, I'm going to trust my soul, put it in your hands, that I'm not just going to disappear, never come back to this body when you ask me questions or put me into this.
Right, because there is some situation. Risk to this. This is not – yeah, what is the risk exactly?
It's huge risk. Edgar Casey experienced a lot of pain, and so did my mentor, Ross Peterson, when people did things to them. Poked him with pins when Edgar Casey was in trance, passed a piece of paper across his chest and severed the silver cord that sort of connected his soul that was out there in the universe at the time from his body, which was asleep in, I think it was Virginia Beach. Ross Peterson was given suggestions to go into a body in which somebody had jaundice and was very sick with diabetes. And when he came out, they decided not to give him the canceling statements. And when Ross came out, he turned yellow, and he almost went into a diabetic shock. So when you reach out and you go into somebody else's mind or body, you pick up a little of the circumstances or situation or health issues. I've had pains in my arms. I've been dizzy. My heart rate has been fluctuating. I felt nauseous, depending on where I was and in the early stages. As you get to do this, you know, 42 years later now, those situations don't quite develop, but my heart rate goes down. It looks like I'm not breathing, and people, when they watch me, bring your binoculars, have a look at it. This is a real deal. You're going to see somebody go into an altered state of consciousness that will be in the Hindu religion. It's called, or these practices called Shamanti mind. You're going to see somebody actively go and touch upon their soul mind, which will be in contact with just about everybody in the audience in some way.
And while you're in this deep meditative trance, I will be asking you questions, you know, the big questions. Maybe it'll be something like, you know, who killed JFK? But you'll be tapped into the Akashic record, and your soul mind will be providing the answers to these age-old mysteries.
And many times I've done that, and there's lots of YouTube videos on me. There's lots of books. There's lots of shows you and I have done where we've answered questions like that.
Right.
And, you know, many of the predictions I've made in my book, in the Renaissance, on your book, and some of the things I've said on your show, the prophecies have come true about earth changes. Where does that information come from? It comes from the future. It's called clairvoyance. And we've done a lot on your show, and this is going to be an amazing time on stage when people are going to see this for themselves. And I hope it inspires people to believe, to give evidence to themselves that they can develop this ability to perceive the future, tap into the Akashic records, meditate, and make good decisions. And even yourself, Richard, I got to remind you, you know, we did an experiment on my show when you were doing some remote viewing, and we were pretty impressive when I had that object on my desk and you were describing it.
That's just, the other night I did I was on your radio program, and I don't know if I would say now that I'm 2 for 2 in the remote viewing business, but I was pleased with the result. We'll talk about that another time, but just very quickly. Okay, so that's Sunday.
Next Saturday I'm going to be in town to do a past life recall workshop for people who want to explore their own past. And that'll be at the Holiday Inn in Toronto. And then go to my website, douglasjamescottrell.com. And for more information, or call my office, 905-393-5104. Again, in the 905-393-5104. This is an all-day seminar where we're going to explore, is there life after life? Is there something in the pre-existence where we plan our life? Okay. Can we benefit by knowing our karma? To overcome blocks and situations that may be holding us back from huge wealth and advancing ourselves forward, and to be successful and have accomplishments and find, most importantly, the God within, you know, the power within.
Give us the date again, Douglas. Give us the date again.
It's going to be next Saturday, March the 7th, at the Holiday Inn. Starts at 10:30. It's going to run till 5, or we'll run till they kick us out of the building.
All right.
So it'll be fantastic. There'll be something for everybody. And I'm inviting yourself and George, if you'd like to mosey on down and kind of, you know, wear the disguises and check us out, it's okay.
All right. So we have that to look forward to. And then also, of course, you will be live on stage Sunday, April the 26th at Follow the Truth, followthetruth.tv. Thank you, Douglas. Look forward to seeing you.
Look forward to being in Oshawa with you. It was an amazing time last time, and this time, with all the wonderful guests, it promises to be bigger and better. Looking forward to being there with you, my friend.
All right, my friend. That's
okay.
It.
Good night.
Good night. Follow the truth. Hey, thanks for inviting me into your home. Anyone else out there suffering from cabin fever? Wow. Come on, spring. It can't come soon enough. I know I'm Canadian and I'm supposed to embrace the winter, and I try, believe me, but it's hard to embrace minus 30 week after week after week, although this weekend was a little warmer. But I cannot wait. For spring. Now, as much as I've had it with the snow and the ice, I'm thinking Iceland is a place I'd like to visit, maybe in the spring. Iceland has really got it right, I think. They had this peaceful revolution a couple of years back, but you wouldn't know it because there was a virtual media blackout in North America. And after their big banks failed due to corporate malfeasance, the government du jour in Iceland expected the taxpayers to bail out the banks. Does that sound familiar? The way they did it in the United States and Cyprus and just about everywhere else that has too big to fail banks. But the citizens of Iceland said, hell no, you're not going to pull a bail in and make us bail out the banks. So the citizens threw out the government. They formed a citizens coalition. They rewrote the constitution and they allowed the banks to fail. And lo and behold, Iceland survived. Which really exposed the big lie, right? That if the too-big-to-fail banks are allowed to go under, they'll take the economy with it. Well, it didn't happen in Iceland. And maybe that's why the media in North America didn't want to discuss the Icelandic miracle. And now, the Supreme Court, just recently in Iceland, has handed down the heaviest jail sentences for financial fraud in Iceland's history. They're sending the former heads of the failed bank, Kaupthing, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. That's the name of the bank. They're sending them to jail. And so now we have these well-heeled Tony bankers made to do the perp war. We'll never see that here. You can read all about it. It's one of the featured stories in our slide carousel at richardserrett.com. Check it out. And maybe we can all learn a few things from Iceland. Imagine corrupt bankers actually going to jail. It's enough to melt those winter blues, isn't it? Hey, just a reminder, tickets are now on sale for Follow the Truth 2. My very special live event returning to the Regent Theater in Oshawa, Sunday, April the 26th. Dr. John Hall will be flying in for an exclusive presentation and meet and greet. Dr. Hall, of course, world-renowned authority on electronic harassment, organized stalking. Paranormal investigator Rosemary Ellen Guiley will be there. Canada's Edgar Casey, remote viewer Dr. Douglas Cottrell, likewise. Unpacking the Zapruder film, The Lost and Found Tribes of Israel, UFOs, Gods and Angels, plus a few surprises. For more information, visit followthetruth.tv, followthetruth.tv, and please help me keep this important live event series going. Order your tickets this week by calling the box office at 905-721-3399, 905-721-3399. followthetruth.tv, and again, the box office, 905-721-3399. And I'm putting these Follow the Truth conferences together because I feel so strongly that it's time to tear back the curtain, shine a light backstage, explore alternative realities, and really to explore subject matter that the mainstream media simply refuses to acknowledge. And my next guest is really on that same mission. If you haven't yet subscribed to the World Affairs Brief, you really ought to think about it seriously, because Joel Skousen is able to connect so many dots and helps to expose the secret machinations of world leaders. He is, as I say, the publisher of the World Affairs Brief. It's a weekly news analysis service. And Mr. Skousen is also a political scientist by training. He speaks multiple foreign languages, which he uses to access information here and abroad. He specializes in helping readers understand the hidden agenda of those that secretly control both political parties and the U.S. government. He's also had a second career as the chief designer at the Secure Home Design Group, which specializes in helping people design and implement high-security residences and retreats. He's written several books in that field of security. And to top it all off, Joel was a fighter pilot for the Marine Corps during the Vietnam era. A great pleasure, as always, to welcome Joel Skousen to The Conspiracy Show. Joel, how are you?
I'm just fine, Richard. Good to talk to you. Despite the bad news, we continue to confront ourselves in the world and the economy.
Well, forewarned, I guess, is forearmed. And that's the first step, is if people wake up to really what's going on, then they can sort of conduct themselves accordingly. Now, I know that this story didn't make it into this week's brief because it's sort of breaking news, but the assassination of a Russian political opponent Boris Nemtsov in Moscow, former Assistant Treasury Secretary of the Treasury under Ronald Reagan, Paul Craig Roberts, believes that Nemtsov may have been taken out by the CIA in order to further demonize Vladimir Putin. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's unfortunate that Paul Craig Roberts, who's legitimately an anti-globalist, tends to view anyone who has the power to stick it to the globalist as the hero, and so he's picked Boris or Vladimir Putin as the hero. So he's taken pro-Russian defensive positions now for at least a year, and I think he's wrong here. This is a complicated case, but Putin is no hero, and it would be very difficult for the CIA to run an operation like this in Russia. I mean, it's one thing for the CIA to operate with almost impunity in other countries in the world, but not when they're up against the KGB. I mean, Russia is arresting double agents all the time. They're very, very good at hunting down these things. So I would find that very difficult. That said, here's why this isn't clear. Boris Nemtsov was a protege of Boris Yeltsin. So he came through the phony fall of the Soviet Union and never, of course, he kept that secret even during his political career. Anybody who's in the real opposition understands that the Communist Party simply went underground, still controls what's going on, along with the KGB, which is, you know, the new FSB, its replacement. But anybody who comes out of this fall of the Soviet Union period as a political leader, as was Nemtsov, as was, you know, Putin following along to Yeltsin, all of these were puppets. Now, there has been a kind of revolution in the sense that the original oligarchs who crafted this show and made themselves wealthy, Guzinski, Berezovsky, Khodorkovsky, and others, have been purged. And Putin appears to be behind the purge. He's now become the new oligarch in Russia. He is the wealthiest man in the world now, Richard Syrett.
Is that right?
That's right. He took control over a company that, through insider dealings, basically takes a cut of every major financial and export-import transaction that goes on in Russia, estimated now to be worth $400 billion.
Wow.
Richest man in the world. So corruption is live and well in there. But you've got to remember, in Russia, there is real opposition, which is tiny, and phony opposition, which is large, and both of them are controlled by powers that be. So, to me, Nemtsov coming from as a Boris Yeltsin protege we really can't tell if he's real opposition or not. It could have been, in fact, people as part of this purge mentality that went on of the other oligarchs who would assassinate him to make Putin look bad. But I don't think it was the CIA. I think this is internal fighting for control within Russia. Putin does have enemies. He, as I say, did a purge. He had Boris Berezovsky killed in London. He had Brzezinski exiled.
Oh, Litvinenko. Wasn't it Litvinenko?
Right. Yeah. So, you see, this is a work in progress here as the Soviet Union now comes out. Remember that Putin is in charge of resurrecting Soviet strength and power, and he's extremely popular, except with the true opposition. They realize there's no liberty in Russia. It's all feigned. Putin rules with an iron hand and showing a lot of, pro-Western, or at least not pro-Western, but, standing up to the West with both encourages anti-globalists here in the West to think he's the hero. He is not. He's a predator just like the Anglo-American globalists, just like the Chinese. He will join forces and is already doing so with China to prepare to attack the West someday.
Having said that, Joel, don't you think that his actions in the Crimea are understandable, given that the West just seems so hell-bent on poking the bear? And after the wall fell down, assurances were supposedly made to Gorbachev that NATO would not encroach, but they've been doing that. They've been very aggressive about encroaching, and I have no doubt that their end game is they would love to put nukes in the Ukraine. Now, if I'm...
Not at all.
You don't believe that? Okay.
No, you've got to remember that the West knew that there was a falsified fall of the Soviet Union. They've been playing along with Russia. I mean, if I could map out the phony parts of the Soviet Union, the phony parts of the fall, the KGB supposedly tried to take off Gorbachev in his undefended villa and failed. Now, how believable is that? Yeltsin broadcasting on a tank in Moscow Square when, in fact, the Communist Party still controlled the television station and they didn't pull the plug. How believable is that? I mean, there's all kinds of things about how the Central Committee made themselves wealthy and became the new oligarchs. All of this was a fraud. The West did nothing to expose it. They, in fact, bent over backwards to cover for the phony fall. They knew that, and the media in the West failed to publish it. Eric Honecker on his deathbed in Chile said, Moscow gave me orders to let the riots in Leipzig go forward.
Okay, we've got to take a break here, Joel. We'll come back and we can finish up talking about that. I'd like to talk about the recent sentencing of some corrupt bankers in Iceland and move on to many other matters covered in World Affairs Brief. The publisher and editor, Joel Skousen, my guest, right here on The Conspiracy Show. Stay with us. We are back with Joel Skousen, editor, publisher, World Affairs Brief. Joel, before we continue our discussion on recent happenings in Russia and the assassination of Nemtsov, Boris Nemtsov, let's find out how can we subscribe to World Affairs Brief.
World Affairs Brief does have a modest subscription price to support my work. People can get a free sample issue by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And they can go to the website, worldaffairsbrief.com, and read a synopsis of the latest brief, as well as click on the subscribe button if they want to go through the subscribe process. But I do encourage people to get a free sample copy.
Excellent. Now, just a final point on Putin. And you certainly feel strongly that he is the villain here. Now, if this is in fact the case, that the Communist Party has simply rebranded itself and nothing really has changed, the Cold War is still on, why doesn't the United States make that case? Because they are getting a lot of flack, even from their European allies, who are, Germany and others are not real happy about these economic sanctions because it's impacting, their bottom line as well. Russia, the EU is Russia's largest trade partner. Why don't they make the case and say to people, listen, the communists are still in power. We have to be aggressive with Russia. He is not the good guy.
Well, it's because the globalists want Russia to be built up as a new enemy. They want Russia to attack the West someday. This is a complicated process that people raise their eyebrows about. But it's the only thing to explain why the U.S. continues, despite the token sanctions, and remember they're token sanctions, to continue to buy oil from Russia. The U.S. continues to buy rocket engines from Russia. They continue to allow economic and trade to go forward with Russia, especially sensitive military technology, and the same with China. In other words, they're still building the best enemy money can buy because they want this war. So they will provoke in minor ways. But remember, they didn't even blow the whistle on the phony coup in Ukraine. The whole world thinks this was a pro-Western coup. But as I pointed out numerous times on the World First Brief, and I think even on your show before, is that only the pro-Russian side in Ukraine under Yanukovych could have ordered the bear coups, the riot police, to stay in their barracks and let the opposition win on Friday a year ago.
Right.
And only the pro-Russian side could have ordered the Party of Regions, the majority party of the party, to oust their own leader, Yanukovych. I mean, the opposition didn't have any power to do that. So this was a coup made to look like a Western coup so that the West could get all the blame for what's happening. And the West continues to cover for that. They don't. They continue to throw out propaganda. They continue to intervene in minor ways. But no nuclear weapons are going into Ukraine because the West does not want to confront. They don't want Putin to lose in Ukraine. They know that Putin intends to win back all of the or most of the former Soviet states. And he prepped that area, or the Soviets prepped it, by moving in millions of Russians into eastern Ukraine before the phony fall, millions of Russians into Georgia, millions of Russians into Belarus, millions of Russians into the Baltics, so that they could have an excuse, just like in eastern Ukraine, to stir up trouble and come in with the stealth invasion. And the Baltics are next. But Putin is no hero. He is not going to stand up to the new one. He's going to attack the West, but it won't be for liberty. And it won't be to rid us of globalism. And the globalists want that same attack because they're going to use it to drum us into a militarized new world order, and Russia will be taken down in the next world war.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that the globalists need Putin. They need him.
Well, sure. They need him to resurface and rejuvenate and create the new Russian strong military. And he's doing it. He's rebuilding the military forces, the nuclear forces, the even new aircraft carriers, new ballistic missiles. I mean, and we're disarming. Most Americans don't realize we just took, under Barack Obama, all three multiple warheads off our Minuteman III missiles and turned them into single warhead missiles. That's a 66% reduction in nuclear throw weight, unilateral disarmament.
One last thing I want to ask you about, Joel, and then we'll get on to Iceland. True or false? I read, hey, it may have even been in World Affairs Brief, I'm guessing it might have been, but during the Reagan era, when the Soviets were really a complete basket case, but this is, you know, sometime before the fall of the Berlin Wall, maybe 10 years, and it could have probably collapsed earlier, except there were secret loans made to the Soviet Union. We're talking, you know, I don't know, in the order of maybe hundreds of billions of dollars in order to keep the Soviets afloat a little while longer. It would be akin to, let's say, you know, a prize fighter just beating his opponent, but needing the fight to go 15 rounds, so he's basically holding up this punch-drunk fighter. Is that what happened? Is that true?
Well, only partially true. Yes, there were loans through other third parties to Russia, secret loans backed by the faith and credit of the United States, other economic deals that were given to Russia, but it wasn't that Russia ever was going to collapse. No nation ever collapsed economically. The economic collapse of Russia, they went to the survival level where they were on bread lines and other things. That had been going on for 10 years. They were still a powerful military force, and to this day they're still a powerful military force. This is a fraud, the concept that nations collapse economically. Even the United States didn't collapse in the Depression with 25% unemployment. It wasn't anywhere near a collapse. 75% were still working. So only through war, only in the end of World War II, did Germany collapse economically because nobody was working. They were all fleeing from the Russians, and they were bombed out. That's the only way that nations collapse, is through war, and that's where we're headed. Eventually.
All right. Let's talk very briefly about the Iceland Supreme Court handing down some stiff penalties to these the leaders of this failed bank in Iceland, and it kind of an interesting dichotomy between what happened in Iceland in 2000, 2007, 2008, and let's say the United States or other places where banks were on the precipice of failing, like Cyprus. In Iceland, the government said, we can't allow this bank to fail. The citizens have to bail it out. They said no. They threw the government out. I mean, it was a peaceful revolution. They rewrote their constitution. They allowed their banks to fail. Why don't we hear about what's going on in Iceland?
Well, obviously, it's an unpopular model. But there's more to it than just the so-called good people versus bad. Remember that Iceland is a socialist country. It was way in over its head with debt. And still is, it still cannot balance its budget. So even though it's gotten rid of the debt by defaulting on the debt, you've got to remember that the bankers are really playing their role in bed with government, of getting loans that were going for development projects on behalf of the government for the people. And so essentially the people walked away stealing all that loan money from Europe and wherever they got it from England, most of those loans came from, and some from Norway as well. And the bankers were the middlemen. Now, there was fraud. There always is in a fiat money system. But what I'm saying is Iceland has not gone back to a solvent state. They're a socialist country. They will not be able to maintain themselves, and eventually they'll be in the same pickle as before because the people, just like in Greece, will not tolerate lack of government benefits. And so this is only a short-term solution. While I'm in agreement, the nation doesn't fail when you stiff the big bankers. They need to go down. They need to go to jail. So our big bankers here who pulled off this evil bailout system, this TARP system, and the bailing out of AIG and all of these people with the credit default swaps, this is totally illegal, types of financial operations. But remember, the end beneficiaries is the socialist system, both in America and in Iceland, that is being fed by these loans, and people love it. But it won't, as I say, the economy won't go down. The bankers will go into demise. But this is not a win-win for the people, as it appears, because there isn't fundamental reform of the socialist indebtedness system of Iceland.
Joel Skousen is with us, publisher, editor of World Affairs Brief. And you alluded to Greece, and that's certainly, remains a huge story, where it looks like Syriza, the Syriza party, very left of center, has its roots in the Communist Party in Greece, went to Germany, swearing, they were basically elected as an anti-austerity party, and after about a 50-minute phone call with Angela Merkel and the finance minister in Germany, Syriza retreated. And got a four-month extension on their bailout program. Is 2015 going to be the year of the Grexit? Greece either being kicked out or leaving the EU?
Well, I have long predicted in the World Affairs Brief that Greece will not exit the EU and won't be kicked out because the EU is the crown jewel of regional globalism right now, the largest globalist government in formation that there is, and there is an increasing hostility towards the EU versus sovereignty issue. Anti-EU parties are winning elections all through Europe. Nevertheless, these people, the globalists, are very, very powerful. They have their fingers in every country, and they will not take no for an answer, and I was right. They did sacrifice and compromise with Greece in two major ways. One, first of all, they gave an extension. Greece wanted 6 months. They gave them four. But even and with the proviso, the Greek pays some of the money it owes to the IMF. It already is defaulting on it. It says it does not have the money. It was allowed to come up with its own austerity measures. And so what they did basically was take away anything that would be painful to the Greek people. Massive cutoff of the old bloated bureaucracy in Greece, which employs indirectly, over 30% of Greek people. The austerity program before was going to make sure that they cut down the federal bureaucracy in Greece. So he backed out of that so that he only said that they would collect more taxes from the wealthy. They would still sell off a few state industries. None of that with the proviso that nobody got fired. In other words, they picked two or three things that wouldn't require that the pain go to the people. The people have no tolerance for pain. It's a very highly indebted socialist country, and the people have simply voted for their benefits, and there's no way to keep paying them. Now, the problem is they kicked the can down the road, Richard, but there's no way that Greece is going to get solvent again within 4 months. They want a repudiation of the debt, and I think that's what's coming next.
Well, what should they do? Because they're calling them the German wise men, these financial heavyweights in Germany that are telling Brussels, we don't need Greece anymore. We panicked back in 2010, but let's cut them loose. We don't need Greece in the EU any longer.
Well, first of all, it means they'll take a loss on everything. That would be a repudiation of the debt. Greece goes its own way, has its own currency. They'll be bankrupt again within another 2 years if they print their own currency. But the EU will absorb all of those losses. And, you know, it's kind of like, is another 10% bailout better than losing, you know, the 90%? That's what, and they've just given another tranche. And they're going to give another one in 4 months if they're not careful. The deeper they get in debt, the more the power to convince the German bankers to stay on, because it's a losing proposition. But the big thing, this is a matter of globalism. This is a matter of if Greece leaves, Spain and Italy could be next, so could Portugal. And if those three leave the whole bottom tier, then they've got a real problem in the EU, and the British will probably pull out as well. So that's what they're fighting against. I think they'll do anything to stop this domino effect from starting. Now, it's possible that Greece could leave. They're not that big a percentage of the EU economy.
No.
But I can guarantee you they're not going to let Italy leave or Spain.
No, they have an industrial base there, for sure.
That's right.
Yes, right. Greece has the sun and the
globalism, not just money. And I keep predicting, and I keep being right, that they keep compromising. The EU compromised significantly for this bailout. But they only kick the can down the road, and frankly, Greece can't comply with the bailout conditions.
All right. We will take another time out, return with Joel Skousen, and look at some other big stories this week in World Affairs Brief, including a secret detention center being run by the police in Chicago. Very harrowing information coming your way on The Conspiracy Show. My name is Richard Serrett. We are back with Joel Skousen. Joel, once again, tell us how we can subscribe to World Affairs Brief.
World Affairs Brief is at my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. Click on the big red subscribe button. But before you do, I encourage people to email me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com and ask for a copy of the current brief, and I'll be happy to send it to you.
All right. This is, quite frankly, a scary story, and it's about this detention center where I believe it's in the West End of Chicago. Tell me about that.
Well, it turns out that Chicago has for several years now been operating a secret black site. The Guardian broke this story, sent reporters up there, the guys gave them the stonewall, nobody's allowed to even stand in front of it, you know, threatened the reporters with it. They're acting just like the federal government, torturing people, indefinite detention, muscling people, not letting them, call a lawyer, just a violation of their rights. And what's interesting is that even the various lobbies, which are very strong in Chicago, trying to uncover corruption, didn't even know about this. I mean, this has been going on for at least 10 years. They even hired one of the major detectives out of this torture site and sent him to Guantanamo. The federal government's hired him away in order to, you know, brief the people down there on how to do effective detention.
Now, Joel, you're like me, pretty conservative, right of center. I mean, do you believe The Guardian? Let's face it, they are more of a left-wing leaning newspaper. Do you believe The Guardian? Do you think they have the story right?
They've talked to the victims of it. They've talked to people who've been there. I mean, this is not just their supposition. Believe me, The Guardian has the goods on them. And sometimes, you know, even though I'm far right of center and, a constitutionalist here in America, we sometimes rely on the left to get into key reporting things because the media won't let anyone on the right in to see these things. But the left has a free pass within the media. They can get into places, that we can't go. And so we often learn things from the far left. And that means that within the far left, even though they're socialists, there is a principled left, meaning people who legitimately, ignorantly, I might say, don't understand the victimization of who is hurt by their benevolence and socialism. But these people are benevolent. They do really want the government to assist people. They just don't understand the victims that are created by government handouts, socialism. I'm not just talking about the people who receive them. I'm talking about the people whose income is lost by regulation and
excess right. taxation. Okay, so The Guardian has the story right, but why Chicago? Why are they doing this?
Well, remember, Chicago is one of the three most corrupt cities in the United States, have always been controlled for many years by not only major underworld figures, but also big government. New York, Chicago, L.A., those are the three big that are the most corrupt, and they can't stay that corrupt without having a free pass from the Department of Justice. And it works both ways. I mean, that's how Emmanuel got in to be the mayor after leaving Barack Obama. That's how Barack Obama started in the corrupt city of Chicago. And it's not just mafia-style corruption. It's federal corruption in league with the city covering up. Because, you see, the federal government has a seamless relationship with the mafia to do assassinations and other dirty work that they don't want to get caught doing. And in exchange, they make sure that there's only limited prosecutions from people at the periphery in the mafia. It's just like everything the Fed does. It both trades in drugs and prosecutes drugs. It trades in terrorism and prosecutes terrorism. It trades with the mafia and gives them free passes and prosecutes a few minor mafia people.
If this is going on in Chicago, and they've uncovered one, is it possible where there's one, there's more?
Absolutely. I am sure they have black sites now and have for several years in L.A. and in New York. And possibly in Philadelphia, another very, very corrupt city. There's a tremendous amount of corruption in police forces. It's not just the militarization of police. My files are just chock full of police abuse. And it's systematic now within these major urban areas. And it's not just against, racial minorities. It's against anyone, who denies the power of the system and who comes up against the system.
All right, we'll take another time out. Joel Skousen is with us, publisher, editor of World Affairs Brief. When we come back, we'll talk about how to get hired by the dark side and something we've talked about recently here on the program, the cholesterol fraud. We'll file that one in the suspicions confirmed drawer. Back with more here on The Conspiracy Show. Stay with us. We are back with Joel Skousen, World Affairs Brief, editor and publisher. This is an interesting story, but it's just kind of a tease. It seems to be just kind of an anecdotal story, but a conversation overheard at a party about it's titled "How to Get Hired by the Dark Side." These are people that are being recruited by the CIA, but this is not just sort of the normal branch of the CIA. Tell us more, Joel.
Well, in every portion of federal law enforcement, whether it's DEA, FBI, CIA, there's a dark side and a white side. There's a white side that does the legal work of the CIA, the FBI, and the DEA, and then you get hired into the dark side to do the illegal. The DEA, for example, protects drug runners that are aligned with the CIA drug cartels, like the Sinaloa cartel in Mexico. It's aligned with the DOJ who ran that Fast and Furious thing about letting 3,000 weapons escape to the cartels, including automatic weapons, and no one was ever prosecuted. That was the dark side. And I've got a lot more stories other than these anecdotal ones, but for my readers who I told about the dark side of these things, this was particularly insightful. It comes from Dave Martin, who runs by the moniker D.C. Dave from Washington, D.C. He said, a late uncle of mine who flew a spotter plane for the Air Force during the height of the Vietnam War once told me that during his stint there, one of our intelligence services tried to recruit him. Now, this is very typical. I might interject here. Everything that I've studied, whether you go into Rodney Stitch's book, Defrauding America,
right,
one of the best compilations of all of the people who have been lured into the dark side, they used to mostly come from the military services. You have CIA crawling all through there looking for people who they can bring into the dark side to do illegal actions. And there was a lot of illegal action going on in Vietnam. And so he said, he declined the offer, he told me, but only after he'd gone so far as to take a required psychological evaluation. The experience, he told me, appalled him. I could tell from the questions, he said, that they were looking for someone who was immoral. Many years later, I told the story to a small group of party in Washington, D.C., and among the group was a young man whose friend strongly suspected being in the CIA. Unable to restrain himself, he blurted out, "I took that test," and proving that he was, or at least he had been recruited to the CIA. Now, I have personal experience with friends my age. As I was going into the Marine Corps as a young man in my late 20s, they were going into the CIA and the FBI, and the guys that went into the CIA said they got assigned to go over to Europe, and on their first assignment over there, they had prostitutes show up at the door. They had individual rooms, prostitutes show up at the door saying, "I'm here to serve your needs." And I said, "No, no." And these were Mormons, by the way, you know, very strict.
Right, right.
Moral habits. And he said, "No, no, I reject it." I said, no, I don't buy into this." And I said, no, it's paid for. The company, meaning the CIA, is paying for it. And he said, you know, everybody who accepted those services, you know, they were laughing about it in the morning at breakfast and everything. And, you know, they all seemed to know that he didn't accept. They got ahead in their careers. Most of them went over into the dark side, he said. And my career never went anywhere. And so there's many, many indications that there are these dark side operations. That's part of the vetting process. They want illicit people who they have dirt on, and they film those encounters so that they can hold them hostage to them later on. It's why they didn't want Mitt Romney, even though he was bending over backwards to please the neocon establishment. It's just they didn't have dirt on. You can't afford a person have a person in the White House that you don't control.
Incorruptible.
With right. Blackmail.
Okay. Yeah, they that was one of the things I heard about Romney, is that they were very afraid because he was an outsider. They didn't want another Reagan. Then they'd have to foist a vice president on him like a Bush to keep an eye on him.
Exactly.
So if you're corruptible, that means they also know that they've got, you know, you have the goods on them. They're not going to turn into a whistleblower.
Yes, exactly. And my sources in Washington tell me they've got dirt on at least 75% to 80% of Congress. And they start when they're in state legislatures. They start when they're in city positions. You know, this NSA spying is about getting dirt on people to a large extent. And the larger purpose of NSA spying, of course, is to get information on who are dissidents, track them so that we can take them down someday.
Well, let me play a little bit of a devil's advocate here on this sort of this dark side of the CIA. And that is, it's a dirty place out there. It's a jungle out there. Sometimes you need thugs to do your dirty work. Isn't that a possible? Am I rationalizing? Or, I mean, don't we need people that are willing to get down and dirty because that's who we're up against?
Yes, it's true. There are needs for infiltrators to go in and infiltrate, and they're going to have to smoke and drink and carry on and other types of things.
And murder.
Right. Well, it's debatable whether or not you have to go that far in order to infiltrate. And, you know, our government, this is a lot Hollywood, the impression that you're dealing with, you know, about the need to do those things. And it's a very complex subject. But I can tell you, when you need that, you can use that. And they normally do when you get somebody who's broken parole and is already corrupt, and you say, look, we have a job to do, and we'd like you to go in as a double agent. But to go in and induce and corrupt people specifically and look for corrupt people, and this isn't just to do these types of things. What I'm talking about, these people are being recruited to do illegal acts that they don't want criminals for. They want good, sound people with good, sound habits who are corruptible, who will look the other way about illegal acts of government. And they probably outnumber the criminal informant types, the criminal agent provocateurs, by 10 to 1 in the government. That's how many more there are of that. And, you know, you can't trust really decrepit, alcoholic, criminal-type people to be in these higher-level CIA operations. You need clear-headed people, but who are challenged morally. And that's what the CIA was looking for.
Psychopaths?
No.
No?
Not psychopaths. No. Just immoral, amoral people who have their limits to a certain... I mean, look at every high-ranking military officer in the United States is a yes-man. And has had to compromise its principles to get to the general officer qualification. But even they have their limits. I mean, when Generals Hammond and Admiral Goyette got faced with this Benghazi stand-down, they refused. And they got relieved of command, but they were still yes-men enough to go to their retirement and refuse to admit that there had been a stand-down.
One of the things I love about World Affairs Brief is you cover so much ground. It's not all about political subterfuge. The great story here about the cholesterol myth, and maybe a month or two ago, I had an occasion to interview a Danish doctor of internal medicine, retired, Uffe Ravenskov, who has been very outspoken about the cholesterol myth. And now this is actually starting to – this is one of those success stories where it's actually starting to filter into the mainstream media. They're starting to latch onto this story. We've been sold a bill of goods about cholesterol for the last 50 years, haven't we, Joel?
Absolutely. It's absolutely fraudulent. It started with the Framingham Heart Study, the one that had been touted for years proving this, and there was no proof. They manipulated the data. They threw out all the good data in order to prove this. I mean, and it turned out to be that the agricultural sector was in this, trying to figure out a way to use trans fats and these other things. And it was a conspiracy between the medical establishment and the agricultural sector to foist margarine. Look how many years that's been with us. And, all this phony types of oil. Well, now, the medical establishment will never admit to this fraudulent data that was produced, this bogus relationship, but they're clearly trying to ease their way out of it without admitting guilt. And so now, as the New York Times reported, the nutrition advisory panel that shapes U.S. dietary advice eased, not rejected, but eased some of the previous restrictions on fat and cholesterol, while at the same time recommending Americans lower their consumption of sugar. Well, that's safe, of course. But they haven't, and this is very, they haven't stopped pushing statin drugs.
Exactly. One in three.
Lowering drugs.
One in three adults, I've read by some estimates, one in three adults in North America are now on Lipitor or some sort of statin drug. One in three.
And these have tremendous liver damaging side effects. They're very, very dangerous and all for nothing. But this shows how the pressure of the truth is finally making them ease out, but without admitting guilt and without stopping the pushing of these drugs. I mean, the cholesterol-lowering drugs, Lipitor, and others, some of the largest-selling drugs in the world, and I don't think they've got the courage to ever admit they're wrong.
And the other tragedy is because everyone was told, okay, swear off animal fat, swear off butter, swear off red meat. Start eating more carbs. That's what caused, because carbs are converted into sugar, which is converted into fat. That's what caused the obesity epidemic.
That's right. And it's still with us. It's still with us. They've got to get back. I mean, you've got to eat more of the saturated fats. They're wonderful for the body, especially from organic sources.
The egg is the perfect food.
Train the body how to burn fat.
Yes.
Burning fat is much more economical for the body to do than burning carbohydrates. And converting and storing it to sugar, and when you get used to the fat cycle of burning fat, using fat, fats melt away, given that the thyroid is okay. And that's one of the problems, too. We've got low thyroid throughout Canada and the United States. 60% of Americans are low thyroid, and low thyroid leads to cholesterol deposition in arteries, not because of eating cholesterol, but because of low thyroid, and it's produced by the body, even if you don't eat it.
Well, that's one of the things I learned is that the body is self-regulating. Your cholesterol, your body produces more cholesterol than you can possibly take in.
That's right.
Dietary-wise. And if you eat more cholesterol, your body will produce less. If you eat less, your body will produce more.
It balances the tides, the low and the high. So it's very, very self-regulating, but it takes the thyroid to do that. And now with our depleted soils, low iodine level, we've got chronic hypothyroidism in the United States, and that also leads to obesity because the thyroid controls your metabolism. Lower metabolism, people feel cold now, they're not producing enough heat, they're not burning energy and producing heat. So that's why you have all these big, burly football players that turn to fat, obese lumps in their middle age, and their thyroids are gone.
Well, I understand why they're really circling the wagons on this cholesterol issue, because if we find out, okay, so they lied to us about that, what's next? We're going to start talking about fluoride and we're going to start talking about vaccinations.
Oh, boy, and they're really circling the wagons about vaccinations and even hyping this measles thing in order to get justify eventual mandatory vaccination. I mean, that's the wrong issue to take something that isn't even deadly and to try to turn it into a deadly threat to mandate vaccines. It's been proven by various studies that, in fact, that the measles vaccine, the literature in the vaccine will say it can cause measles, and it doesn't protect you.
Right, and it was on the wane in North America long before the vaccinations came along.
Right.
Same with polio. We know that that's the answer to polio is good sanitation.
Yep.
All right, Joel, always a pleasure. Thank you once again. World Affairs Brief. Good talking to you, Joel.
My pleasure, Rich. Good to talk to you.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. All right, that's it for me. My thanks to Tim Spreen, Albert Finzel. Back next week with a brand new show. Hope you'll be along for that. In the meantime, don't be afraid. There's nothing concealed that won't be revealed, and nothing hidden that won't be made known. What you hear in the dark, speak in the light. What I say in a whisper, proclaim from the housetops. Move over, Aphrodite. I'm coming home. Good night.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.